We're laughing because Pam is, she can definitely relate to that. She's got two young children, running two businesses, and sometimes, you know, she's just like, housework's got to give this week.
Hello and welcome to the Sisterhood Club podcast, where we empower women with all the tools they need to succeed across life, business and career. We'll bring inspiring stories and practical advice from CEOs, founders and women who are achieving incredible things. So join us and let's shape our futures together.
Hello and welcome to another episode of the Sisterhood Club podcast with myself, Georgie Hubbard.
And me, Pam Caldwell.
And today we are extra excited because we are sat down with an incredible tech entrepreneur, Melanie Cancel. Melanie, incredible to have you on the podcast today.
Fantastic to be here, Georgie and Pam. I'm so excited to be chat with you and also to kick off the new year with Sisterhood Club.
Yeah, it's going to be amazing. So we've had some incredible guests on this podcast, and our focus now is really to shine a spotlight on some incredible women entrepreneurs like yourself and what you're doing building out your fitness app, Alight. You've got a really interesting background, which I would love you to share with our audience about how you went from that sort of corporate world into tech entrepreneurship. So over to you, Melanie. Tell us a little bit about yourself, your journey, and what got you here today.
Fantastic. Well, it has been a tale of two sides of the coin of business, which is I started my career in corporate in the US. I'm actually originally from Hawaii, and then moved into entrepreneurship. I had my first startup about 10 years ago with two children under two, which, you know, look, I do not recommend it. And then went back into corporate and then have come back into entrepreneurship. And it's fair to say, you know, both sides have wonderful things to offer. I mean, right now I am absolutely loving just the creativity and the opportunity for impact and creating something that doesn't exist with an amazing team that we're doing at Alight.
I love that. Okay, so can we go into how you transitioned from corporate back into a startup? Because obviously two are very different, but very transferable skills. I'm sure you learned a lot from your corporate experience. How do you think that has helped you and enabled you to go into Alight and start building that the way you're doing so?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, I think that, I mean, I've learned so much from both doing a startup the first time around and also my time in corporate. So most recently at corporate, I was at the A2 Milk Company. Prior to that, I was at the NRMA. And before that, I was in media at Nine Entertainment, where I helped set up Stan. And, you know, through those experiences, while they're pretty disparate, they've got a commonality around consumer, around doing things better for consumer. And I think for me, that's a major driver. And then in terms of lessons learned, you know, the reality is people are people, right? And the job of leading people in a corporate and leading people in a startup has a lot of overlaps, because fundamentally you're trying to find a way through a difficult problem, know what's next, see around corners. And yes, it's a lot different in startups because you've got a lot fewer resources at play, and you're creating something that, you know, isn't yet there, but there is a lot more, there is a lot that I can bring over, and probably a lot of it is to do with the people side of things and the lessons I've learned in, you know, in navigating and leading people in my corporate life.
That's amazing. And I think it's really important, you know, if you've had a variety of experiences, to be able to bring that forward into, you know, your own startup and founding your own company. And I'd love to actually hear a little bit more about Alight, Melanie. If you could sort of tell us a little bit more about the mission, the vision, the purpose, and where the inspiration all came from for the business to actually start off.
Absolutely. Well, at Alight, our mission is health through self. And, you know, I think there's so much in our culture, particularly for women, but not only for women, which tells us about how we need to keep optimizing, right? You know, we're supposed to get up at 5 o'clock in the morning and go for a gym or go for a run. We should be eating activated almonds and protein smoothies and whatever it is. And you know, the reality is that it does not bear a close relationship with my actual life, right? I've got two children. I've always worked full time. I don't actually enjoy going for a run, but I do want to be healthy. I enjoy moving my body. I care about my health. And I just think that that's something that I hear from so many people that I speak to, that the fitness and wellness industry is not actually speaking to their real needs. It speaks to people who already like doing those things, or it's emphasizing shame and telling us that we're not good enough. And we just have a fundamentally different view. We know that you are good enough. We want to recognize people for what they're doing, where they are, and help meet people where they are. And so what we are, we're a social fitness studio created for well-being. And what that means in practice is that you can share movement with friends in a private environment. So, you know, tomorrow the three of us could catch up over yoga and have a chat and know that we've done something good for ourselves, but it fits into our schedule because we get to choose the time. It's just us, so you feel a sense of connection. And, you know, we're not telling you to kind of grind it out. So that's something that we really believe strongly in, is that meet people where they are, make things easy, enjoyable, and also bring in the benefit of connection, because research actually shows that connection and meaningful relationships are the number one driver to longevity, even more than, you know, fitness and exercise.
I love that. I absolutely love that. And wow, what a mission, because you've touched upon something very important there. I'm actually a big fitness advocate. I love keeping fit. I'm one of those unusual people that generally does look forward to going for a run. But I also appreciate there are so many people out there that don't. And you're right.
I try my best.
Pam tries her best. But this whole shame around it is so wrong. And I've always felt that as a woman. And if for whatever reason I can't get to the gym that day, or I haven't feel like I've moved enough, there is that shame. That is the element of guilt. And I love what you're doing about bringing that sort of more empowerment into the fitness space and just making it realistic, but also making it enjoyable as well, because part of the enjoyment is doing it with others. So I love that whole community feel that you're building with Alight, and I can see there's such a need for this product in the market, which is incredible. So really, really well done. How is it all going? Like, how have you found the journey so far? Obviously, Pam and I have a startup in Sister Club. We've also got a recruitment company that's a bit more established. So we get it. We know there's a lot of sleepless nights, a lot of hard work. But how do you wake up in the morning every day, stay motivated, stay driven to keep on building this incredible product that you're building?
Yes. I mean, you know, you two are going through it, so you know what it's like. And I think the main thing for me, and I assume the two of you have this as well, is it's really about the people, because that's what provides the energy. You know, we've got an incredible mission that we are really united behind, and we want to create something that makes things better for the consumers that we serve. But the thing that gives that energy when you go through lulls, or when you're facing challenges, or things take longer than you wish they did, is actually the people I'm working with. We've got an amazing team. I feel so lucky to be working with people like Rasheen, who you know, and other people on the team. And that really provides that energy and fun, but also the different perspectives. Because as you know, when you're starting something from scratch, you don't know the answer. If we knew the answer, we would be doing it already. And so you're kind of finding your way, and some things work and some things don't. And for me, I find that I need to have lots of different perspectives to keep challenging ourselves, to keep pushing ourselves, and to kind of keep that energy and fun up.
Amazing. And just to sort of touch upon challenges, I think that that's something that a lot of us can relate to, whether it come from just your career or if you are starting your own business. What are the major challenges that you would say that you've faced since starting Alight, and how have you managed to overcome them?
Yeah, great. I mean, I would put the challenges in maybe two different buckets. One is the business bucket, right? Which is all of the challenges to do with starting the business and finding your way and finding product market fit. And the second business bucket is the personal bucket, because it is hard to start a company and to deal with sort of the stresses and navigating that. And I think of the, you know, on the business side, that's just endemic to starting something from scratch and not knowing the answer, because what we're creating doesn't exist yet. So we are trying it out. And one of the amazing things is when people try a light and they really love it. We also love it when people try it and they don't love it, but they tell us why. So we can then go make that better. And then you're always dealing with, you know, the challenge of few resources in a startup and trying to find kind of the right people or the right information or the best way to do things, you know, when you're resource constrained. On the personal side, I mean, that's really about keeping up energy. I talked about the benefit of the team, but from a personal basis, I mean, it sounds so cliche, but it turns out daily exercise does really help.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So mm-hmm. for me, you know, I try and work out every day on a light with one friend or another. I go for morning walks. I mean, look, mm-hmm. some days are better than others on that front, but I just try and navigate it and then throw things off the bus mm-hmm. that just can't fit that week, right? Like my house is not tidy perfection and I'm just living with that.
Sorry, we're laughing because Pam is she can definitely relate to that. She's got two young children,
yeah,
running two businesses, and sometimes, you know, she's just like, housework's gotta give this week,
you know? Yeah. I walk into Georgie's house and everything is like so serene and zen, everything's got
a
place, and she walks into my house, she's like, whoa, what's going on in here?
Yeah.
It's hilarious. But look, that is so important. And throw things off the bus. What a great phase. I'm going to use that for 2023. I am just throwing housework off the bus this week.
I love it. I supportive.
Yeah. Melanie, if I could actually just whilst we're actually chatting about this, you actually mentioned something at the start that I would actually just like to rewind back into. You
sure.
mentioned, obviously, many years ago you were involved in a startup and founding a company. Then you navigated back into the corporate workplace prior to entering entrepreneurship again. You mentioned that when you obviously first began in the startup, you had two children under two, which must have been absolutely wild. Georgie and I have actually we've read a lot of stats and read a lot of reports recently, and really sadly, there's actually a lot of women that are dropping out of the workforce at the moment. And there's obviously very complex social reasons and mm-hmm. different economic reasons, whatever, for those stats. Now, could you sort of talk to your experience when you sort of navigated out when you were sort of in your startup with your two children, and was trying to strive for that balance, was that one of the main reasons that you actually sort of left the startup world and went back to working for a company? Was it the mental load? Like, what could you sort of talk to your journey? Because again, I think that that's something that so many women can relate to.
Yeah, great. Look, I think that I might just cover two sort of thoughts came to mind as you were asking about that. One is the experience of doing it itself. Mm-hmm. And I think this idea of throwing things off the bus and knowing that we can't do everything all at the same time, I think is really important. And also that I think we go through times in life that are harder than others. I know that sounds really obvious, but the reality is two little kids is really hard. So like, even if, you know, you've got the most supportive spouse or partner in the world, and I've got an amazing husband, you know, that's a difficult time. So I think that, like, we just sort of need to recognize and accept that and give ourselves maybe just a little bit of kindness and grace to know that not everything is going to be perfect all at the same time. So I think that's an important thing for many of us, especially women, to accept. The second thing is having support, and that can be a luxury. I definitely leaned into it. My husband's super helpful and supportive and a genuine partner, you know, not helpful makes it sound like it's an offloaded thing, but a genuine partner. So that's, I feel extremely lucky on that front. And we also used lots of other help, right? Like, we had paid help, unpaid help in the form of family. And I think that was super helpful. But then I guess the final thing is kind of going back into corporate afterwards. And I would say that when I finished my first startup journey, I needed a change. But these things are packages, right? Like, you don't get to have all of the benefits of a startup and all of the benefits of a corporate all at the same time. And that would be amazing. But the reality is, like, the startup, you get the creativity, the fun, the purpose, the building, setting up a culture from scratch as you'd like it. The downside is you have almost no resources and are not being paid very much. And there's a lot of uncertainty at all times. And so after I'd gone through kind of the full journey with my first startup, I was ready for the other side of that coin, which was, you know, a steady salary, very, you know, a lot clearer remit and definition around what I was doing. And, you know, I don't need to worry about printer cartridges or like deciphering tax forms myself, because it turns out like there are departments that do that. Right? So, yeah. So I think it is a bit of a package. And I was happy to make the switch, but then also missed the entrepreneurship side of things. And here I am back again.
I just love hearing your journey, because so many people, I think, work in their businesses that actually they've lost a lot of passion for, or they know deep down this is not going to work. And it's when do you know when to sort of step away or to go and get a full-time job? I think a lot of people see that as a failure, and I don't think it's a failure at all. I think it's a sidestep, and actually you could go and get a job and you could gain some more skills from a larger organization that you could then, like you've done, apply them to another business. And I think we live in a culture where entrepreneurship's become quite sexy and popular, when actually it is a lot of hard work. You know, there are a lot of sleepless nights. And sometimes when, certainly I know when Pam and I started See It Solutions, we were like, God, I'd give anything today to be paid a salary and earn some superannuation, you know? So like it's so challenging and tough, right? And I don't think we talk enough about that. I think everyone sees the glory of, you know, the freedom, the money, but the reality is there's a lot of hard work that goes into that. So I just want to like really take a moment to just say, you know, congratulations for like identifying that, going back into corporate and gaining some more skills and now applying them to a light, which is so credible. But what would you say if there is a woman sat there right now that's working in a business and is struggling, and she's maybe thinking, you know, what do I do? I've been going at this now for 2-3 years. It's not at the point I want it to be. Should I go back and get a job, or should I just keep grinding away? Like, what was the point for you that you go, no, I'm going to go and get a job now. I'm going to step away from this startup.
Yeah, it's a great question. I think the answer is it can be very uncertain. So I don't think there's one perfect answer. Mm. And in my first startup, the answer was really one around funding and, you know, kind of just a financial one about, you know, the rate at which revenue was coming in versus the length of time it took us to get our sales and whether we had venture funding to continue and so on and so forth. And so that kind of told us the answer. But I think there is an element, I think, in startups, which is sort of looking within yourself to really feel about whether it's working or not, and being honest with yourself, or asking others to help them be honest. Because I think there is an element when you're in a startup that you can feel quite, it can feel quite stressful, and you can sometimes not know what the right answer is. And I would say that in my first startup and now, it's been really helpful to have people who I genuinely trust and who can give me just a little bit of that perspective. Like, am I just in the depths because it's a really hard week and I'm low on sleep and feeling it a bit? Or is this, you know, or is something not working? And then, you know, obviously using data helps as well, but I think there's also a really important kind of emotional component to it as well. And I just want to also pick up on the piece that you mentioned around, you know, changing over. And I think it can feel a little bit demoralizing or a bit of a failure. And I just want to really amplify what you said about you learn so much through this journey. And when I finished my first startup, I felt, you know, a bit low on confidence. I was really worn out. It was a really hard time. And then I went back into corporate. And number one, when I was back in the job market, I found, oh, these companies I'm talking to really value that experience. And then two, when I actually went into the job, I was like, I have learned so much and I am so much of a better leader, and know so much more than I did beforehand. So it is also really important, you know, for the people out there who are listening to this and thinking about it, it is a really hard decision, but know that your skills will be valued and you will have learned so much from this experience.
Amazing. You sort of touched upon there just in terms of like leadership and just like sort of using your feelings and leading with emotion. And bringing empathy to your leadership is something that's gained quite a lot of press over the past couple of years. And I find sometimes as a leader myself, like I do tend to lead with emotion. And there have been occasions where I've reflected and thought, oh God, has that been the right thing to do? Because I can be like very empathetic and very gentle in my approach sometimes. Like in terms of like your leadership skills, like how do you feel that, you know, bringing emotion and empathy to leadership, do you feel that that is a really valuable skill? And do you feel that that's the way that leadership should be moving for the future?
Yeah, I absolutely do. And for me, it's been a real journey. I studied physics undergrad and then went into management consulting. So I've come from like super rationalist. It's the numbers and the Excel sheet, which are the answer to life, right?
Yeah.
And so that's kind of where I started my career. And so for me, a big part of the journey has been realizing that the way things get done in organizations is actually about the people. And I saw so many organizations in my career as a management consultant and then onwards, when I've been part of different organizations and realizing that it is about the people and their capabilities and their confidence and having the right people that make the difference. And I think that as a leader, what's really important is to both balance empathy and creating, you know, psychological safety, which the research shows is the key determinant of performance in a team, while also being clear about what the business actually needs to do and whether the person is right for that role. Because I think the biggest challenges as a leader is to be really clear with oneself around this may be a wonderful human being who deserves compassion and empathy and support, and they may not be right for that role. And that's life. And so and that means treat the person with compassion, but it doesn't always mean that they're in that right role. Or when you're thinking about hiring a team, being really thoughtful about, I need people who are really excellent on a bunch of different dimensions to be a part of this company that we're building Alight. So I think that is really important. And I think it's a balance. And I find it kind of amazing to me in that in so much business press and business Twitter, you see these things and people don't realize that organizations are made up of human beings. That is how things get done. And that's the central tenet, really, is treat people like humans and try and be a human yourself. And we're all imperfect, including myself.
Beautifully imperfect. And in terms of like the goals and the visions for Alight, Melanie, as that sort of grows, if you could sort of talk to your big audacious goals that you've got for the future, but if you could also sort of touch upon what types of skills and skill gaps do you think that will emerge in line with those growth plans, and what type of skills and experience do you think you'll really need to bring into the business in order to get it to where you really want it to be?
Yeah, amazing. I mean, you know, our big vision around health through self is around having impact on lots of people. We want to build Alight into a big company that has a big impact on many people in the sense of making it easy and enjoyable to stay connected and to have healthy habits. And how we build that now is, you know, now we're a small team and we've got a great array of skills around marketing, around technology, around product, around design. So we've got the kind of those basic core things, you know, covered. Now, as we grow, we'll obviously need more resources. But I think there's also this element around you can get more specialized and kind of deeper as you grow. Whereas in a startup, you need to have people who are really broad-based in their skill set and also able to play at, you know, on the balcony and on the dance floor, because you just don't get to be, you know, you don't get to only do the one thing in a startup. You know, everyone's a part of the key strategic decisions. Everyone's doing little things like, you know, 2 weeks ago, I was doing like the dates in a Notion spreadsheet to set up, you know, Notion sheet to kind of send out. as well as the big things around strategy, et cetera. So I just think that kind of balance and what you need in terms of sort of probably breadth versus depth will evolve as we grow.
I love that. And I have no doubt that you won't hit those goals and build something incredible, because I think that what you're building is a very needed product. I think, you know, health is one of those industries that it's not going anywhere. People are, you know, definitely thinking more about their health, and not just their physical health, but their mental health as well, which is something that Pam and I are both extremely passionate about. You know, really making sure as a business owner, as a busy mom, you know, whoever you are, making sure that you are, you know, mentally strong and looking after yourself every day. And with that being said, what sort of things, you know, you obviously do lead a busy life, you're building a business, you've got children, you know, how do you balance it all and also make sure at the end of the day that you are looking after yourself and your mental well-being? Is there any daily routines or disciplines that you do that really help make sure that you're in a good mental state every day?
Yeah, that's a great question. And I think the first thing I would say is I wish it was perfection, but it is not. So it's a constant journey. There's a few things that I do that I find super helpful and when I lose track of them, I notice the difference. One is the obvious one, which is daily exercise. Everyone says it, but like I just do in a light sesh every morning. Over the Christmas break, my schedule was a little bit all over the place and I missed a few, and I really noticed the impact on my sleep particularly. The other thing for me is a daily walk. I need to just get moving. It's nothing extreme. I go 10 minutes down the road and pick up my coffee, so it feels purposeful and I get a little reward. And sometimes I also get a muffin and then I feel really happy about coming back and having that. So that's, you know, the daily walk is key. And, you know, for me, I have to throw certain things off the bus, as we were talking about, right? Like for me, housework, personal admin, those are things that I am not that great at. I do really enjoy cooking. For me, that's my meditative treat at the end of the day, is cooking something that I like. For other people, they hate it. You know, they like cleaning. You know, you need to have ideally both of those people exist in the same household.
Oh, but, I wish I loved cleaning.
I strive to love cleaning.
I imagine that someday it will happen, but I think it may not. And then, you know, just spending time with my husband and my kids is really the key thing. I mean, we're sort of my kids are at kind of that golden age where we get to hang out together and watch Great British Bake Off or whatever the case might be. So for me, that's the really restorative piece. You know, I don't do that much socializing during the week, because that's just one of those things that kind of has to get thrown off the bus during the week. So I try and maintain a little bit of a balance, but it's more like, you know, picking up one bulb here, dropping another over there.
Yeah. I think that's really super powerful, because as soon as you start trying to juggle too much, that's when it can almost become, well, very quickly overwhelming, and even too much of the wellness practices as well. You know, got to do my walk, got to go and do my meditation, got to do my journaling, got to do this, got to do that. It's like even that can become overwhelming if you're trying to just do something, you know, for the sake of doing it. I think find out what works for you and stick to those practices. You don't have to do everything. But one word that you've mentioned quite a few times throughout this podcast is this whole perfectionism thing. And I know I'm a recovering perfectionist. I definitely have gone on that journey. I still struggle with it. Everything's got to be just right. But I also think that it holds so many people back. You know, it's the perfect time to start a business, or the perfect time to change careers, or the perfect time to do anything. How do you identify when your perfectionism is kicking in, and how do you overcome it when it does?
Yeah, good, great question. I've definitely kind of been through that journey. And I think there's probably two pieces to it. You know, one is probably listening to myself a little bit more. Like I can feel when I start to get a bit angsty and wound up. I mean, I assume most people feel that. And that to me is like, ooh, I need to listen to that feeling. Whereas when I was younger, I would not listen to that feeling and I would just get into the red zone, right? And kind of crash into a wall. So one is I try to listen to that a bit more. The second thing is I've kind of taken up a bit of a mantra over the last, you know, 10 years or so, which is to lean into the easy, because not always, but often that feeling of ease is a sign that that is something that is good. And I don't mean easy in the sense of, like, I don't know, just choosing an easy job, for example, but I just mean on the daily basis is kind of trying to listen to what feels easy, to find everyday joys. You know, if I feel like getting an ice cream at 3 p.m. on a weekday, I'm just going to go get that ice cream and not beat myself up about that. So I think there's just a little bit of that, and trying to find little ways to make things easier in my life rather than apply a discipline to everything, because I actually think we've all got only a certain amount of discipline and we need to choose where to direct that. But so I think it is tough. I try to listen to myself more and I try and find easier ways to build things into my life that I need to, basically.
Mm. Amazing. I love that. I can see Pam wants to ask questions, so I'm just
just like one of the questions that I actually love to ask, and I think it's just this conversation is just beautifully steered in this direction, is just around success. And you've obviously got a lot of different things going on in your life, beautifully so. And success does mean different things to different people, and I love hearing about what success means to different people. So Melanie, how do you measure success for yourself, and how do you measure success for your business as well?
Yeah, great. For myself, I mean, really since I was a child, my goal is happiness. And I don't mean happiness in the sense of elation. I mean happiness in the sense of contentment and satisfaction. And there's different elements to that for me personally, which is feeling, you know, feeling like I've treated others well and fairly, feeling like I've done my best and given something my all, feeling like I've really sort of, I suppose, thought things through and done a good job and fulfilled my obligations to others is another big part of it. So when I think about success in my life, I think about, you know, my work and my relationships, both with my family and otherwise, and my health, and I'm trying to kind of get a balance in all of those things. I am not particularly, I try not to define it in terms of how other people see it, whether that's in terms of money and status. And that's not to say I'm immune to that. I wish I were, but I try and keep myself centered in terms of what am I really pursuing to be around kind of fulfillment. And I have a personal life mission, which is to spread positivity. So that's so that's something I try and do on a daily basis. With the business, you know, I think it's more straightforward, but harder to execute, right? We are trying to build a business. So longer term, it's about impact and economic viability, you know, kind of creating economic value where your revenues exceed your costs and creating equity value for, as well as giving back, you know, creating a great place to work is another key element of it, and having a great impact on the people we serve in terms of our consumers. So if we think about, you know, the economic employees and consumers as key stakeholders of our business, that's really critical. In our earliest days, you know, you're looking at metrics on that front, right? So I'm trying to create a team and a culture that is a great place to work and that people feel fulfilled and authentic. You know, you're not necessarily your whole self at work, but I hope that you can be your authentic self and a light and feel that wonderful satisfaction and sense of purpose when you're working with a team on something great. With our consumers, we're try and spend time with consumers as much as possible. Everyone's required to do at least one customer interview a month, because and that's everyone on the team from the most junior person to the most senior person, because I want people to stay in touch with what do people really think, whether that's they like it or whether they don't like it. That's equally valuable to us to understand. And in terms of economics, you know, at this stage, we're looking to get our product market fit. So we're longer term, obviously you want to create an economic reviable business. What that requires from us now is product market fit in the sense of people like what we're doing and they're coming back and they're staying. And that those are the metrics that we look on a week-to-week basis.
I absolutely love that. And Pam and I talk about this a lot, but I think that one of the most powerful things you can do is define what success looks like to you, because we do live in a world where we look over the neighbor's fence and think the grass is greener, right? So if you can stay in your own lane and know this is what success means to me, and I think as well, instead of measuring it by what you have and what you accumulate and money and status, like you say, how do I feel every day? Because if you're waking up every day excited, happy, fulfilled, joyful, grateful, then that to me is success, right, in itself. And everything else will flow from that. But if you're waking up every day, you know, unmotivated, sad, depressed, anxious, then you're not going to be able to go ahead and achieve your goals. So I love what you said. And that whole spreading positivity is just so wonderful. And you've definitely done that today. I feel like I've had a smile on my face throughout this whole podcast. So that is definitely your mission being executed today and definitely living up to your definition of success.
Yeah. But I'm going to be throwing things off the bus all throughout 2023.
Everything's off the bus for Pam, apart from her babies and her business. But Melanie, I could honestly sit and chat to you all day, but I'm conscious of your time. You're building a business, you're a busy mom. So where can we send our audience to find out more about you and Alight? Where should they go?
Wonderful. Well, on Twitter, we're Hello Alight, and we're the same on Instagram. Our website is Alight, that's Alyte.app. And, you know, we'd love people to come find us. We are in beta right now, iOS only at the moment while we're in beta. But we would love people to give us a try on the app. We've got wonderful content. You can share a session with a friend, give us feedback. And, you know, we would love to hear more, and especially from people about how can we make your lives easier and feel healthier and happier. That's what we want to be able to do.
I love it. Well, I will definitely be checking it out. We will put all of the links in the show notes. So please go and check Melanie out and Alight out as well, because it sounds absolutely phenomenal. I absolutely love chatting with you today, Melanie. Thank you so much for being on the Sister Club podcast. And to all of our listeners, I hope that you have got something from this podcast today. I know I have made lots of notes. And Melanie, I look forward to watching your journey and all of your successes. And we will be cheering you on. I know you're going to achieve all of your goals this year. So congratulations on all of your success so far.
Fantastic. And thank you so much for having me here. And the other thing I should have said is we are coming up with an NFT for our community.
Very exciting.
In the next month. Okay. So more info will be coming out about that soon. But it's just been such a pleasure speaking with you both. And it feels like, you know, we're sharing a lot of similarities in each of our journeys. And so I've really enjoyed this conversation. Thank you for having me.
Thank you so much, Melanie.
Thank you so much for listening to today's episode. If you enjoy these episodes, the number one thing you can do to help us grow and keep spreading our mission and message is to hit the subscribe button. And if you have time, give us a quick rating. Appreciate each and every one of you who tune in every week. And we look forward to bringing you many more episodes this year. Take care.